Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The point was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
There you go. Okay, I promise at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time I would be on. I had some things to do. You know, man got to do what a man got to do. You know, I had some things around the house that had to fix some plumbing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. We are live and we are global. That's it. That's it. That's all you need to know. The phone number to reach me is 319-527-6099. You're going to need it. Come to the studio. What else are you going to do on a Friday? Except come on a national number one radio show globally, worldwide. Say hello to your cousin in Scotland, the dude that's walking around in a kilt with no panties on. Hey, it's legal in Scotland. What else are you going to do? Come into the studio. It doesn't cost you anything. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get you promotion if you want to say who you are and what business you want to do and say hello to me. That's it. Donald Trump is back, or is he? I can't play my thing. It's my favorite thing from Hamilton. You know what I mean? I love it. And I didn't get a chance to do it. There's this one thing. I love Hamilton, where the original is "You'll be back," and that's when the Americans, you know, of course, we won the British War and everything, and we got rid of the king. And basically, the king says, "You'll be back. You miss me." Here it is. It's my favorite thing. I can't help it. I'm a theater guy. Leave me alone.
The price of my love, not a price that you're willing to pay. You cry in your tea, which you heard in the sea when you see me go by. Quite a step. Remember we made an arrangement when you went away. Now you're making me mad. Remember, despite our estrangement, I'm your man. You'll be back soon, you see. You remember you belong to me. You'll be back, time will very push. Can't you shove? I will send a fully armed battalion to remind you of my love. Da 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 da. You say our love is draining and you can't go. You'll be the one complaining when I am gone. Cause you're my favorite subject, my sweet submissive subject, my loyal, royal subject, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You'll be back like before. I will fight the fight and win.
There you go. We thought we got rid of the dotard, the Donald. You know, I've been watching the committee thing, hearing how bad he is, how he tried to overthrow the government. Then they put up a poll, what is the most important things to people? Number one was inflation. Number two was abortion. Number three, I think it was the coronavirus. Bottom line, the committee was like number six. Number six. Now, people were asking a question. They're saying, well, don't they see how bad he is? And the answer is yes. But they don't care. See, that's where you're not getting it. That's where you're not getting it. And that's where the Democrats are not getting it. No, there are some independents that are going, whoa, I didn't know this. And there are some Republicans, and I believe there's a lot of Republicans, are saying, you know, we got to get this asshole off the platform because he's so sensitive. He's really sensitive, and I don't want him to come after me, but he's ruining the party. This is his last stance. Now, I could almost see Republicans getting together and saying, this is it. You know, the guy is 78? He'll be 80 years old if he's running for president. 80 years old. 80. Now, you want to know what 80 feels like? All you have to do is go to an old folks home. There's a lot of 80 years olds there. And would you vote for any one of them? To be president of the United States, the most powerful country in the world, to make big decisions. They can't even make a decision about Jell-O. Donald Trump doesn't make decisions. He hires people to make those decisions. That's how Donald Trump works. He likes to watch TV, but he'll hire the best people. And if his last thing is the best people, this is going to be fun. He's a three-time loser. Donald Trump is a loser. You can't deny that he's not a loser. He's a loser. The only way that he won the election, and people don't realize it, is Comey gave it to him. Hillary Clinton was beating his motherfucking ass, whipping him like a redheaded stepchild. But right before, 2 weeks before, Comey came out and said that he's going to do an investigation on her, Hillary Clinton. That's what turned it. Comey did. Not Donald Trump. She was kicking Donald Trump's ass, even though he did enough about it. And then later, when he backed off saying, no, nothing was found, it was already too late. The smear campaign made Hillary Clinton was gone. But they hated Hillary. But a lot of Republicans held their nose because they know about this dotard, this retarded kid. He went full retard when you go Donald Trump. When you go Donald Trump, you're going full retard. You're going full retard. You know what full retard is? You got to know what full retard is. And if you're a Trump supporter, you are going full retard. And I'll explain what full retard is. If you haven't watched the show, you should know what a full retard is, because a lot of you guys are full retarded. You know. Oh, I got in trouble yesterday because I made a joke. There's a couple of people. Okay. Listen, you fags. Stop it, you queers. Stop it. Quit getting your jock in a snit, you queers. Stop it. I will not be pressured by you queers. I'll kick your ass and ruin your sex life forever. Listen, you. Loosen up. I was talking about Dave Chappelle and how the transgenders are going after him because he's mocking them. And then I made a comment about I want to get dressed up and I want to look good. And I should be fag. I coined a word, fag, fabulous. Now that's a straight man looking really good, looking fly. Because, you know, the fags do dress nicely. Very rare that you see a fag that's not really dressed up, you know. Even they wear those wife beaters nicely. I think they iron them or they press them or they steam them. They're wife beaters. So when you see a straight man that's dressed really nice, I mean sharp, he's fag fabulous, meaning that even fags will say fabulous. And it's hard for straight people to be fag fabulous, but I coined the phrase fag fabulous. I should come up with a line called fag fabulous. I would like to be walking down the street one day and someone go, damn, you look fly. I go, yeah, I feel good. I feel fag fabulous. Yeah, you look fag-fagless, because even fags will say, damn! How did I get off the subject? Oh, people coming after me. Queers. Anyway, I do believe that Donald Trump supporters, knowing that what he is doing and knowing what he is capable of, and try to overthrow your government and lie to you, and you got an empty head that you're thinking that this guy's a saint. You went full retard. And I have to explain to you what full retard is. So any of you Trump supporter out there, you are full retarded. And to explain what full retard is, here it is. This is my friend. It was a movie called Tropical Thunder, and he's explaining what full retard is.
When I was doing Jack, there were times when I was doing Jack that I actually felt retarded, like really retarded. I mean, I brushed my teeth retarded. I rode bus retarded.
Damn.
In a weird way, I had to sort of just free myself up to believe that it was okay to be stupid or dumb.
To be a moron.
Yeah.
To be moronical.
Exactly. To be a moron.
An imbecile.
Yeah.
Like the dumbest motherfucker that ever lived.
When I was playing the character.
When he was the character.
Yeah, I mean, as Jack, definitely.
Yeah. So if you're a Trump supporter, you are full retard. I mean, there's nothing against you. You're the dumbest motherfucker on the planet. I mean, you're stupid. You're moronical. You're a moron. And knowing that what this man is capable of, and knowing that the hatred that this man did to our country, and knowing what he did to people and going after certain people and holding people hostage and blackmailing people, blah, 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 and that's the good part. And ripping people off with donations and stuff, we're talking the good part. So to be a supporter, you would have to go full retard. I mean, really stupid, moronic. The things that they're explaining to be, you know, a jackass, an imbecile. So Trump supporters, I believe that you are full retards. Here you go.
Weird way I had to sort of just free myself up to believe that it was okay to be stupid or dumb.
To be a moron.
Yeah.
To be moronical.
Exactly. It's to be a moron.
An imbecile.
Yeah.
Like the dumbest motherfucker that ever lived.
When I was playing the character.
When you was the character.
Yeah, I mean, as Jack, definitely.
Yeah. Jack. Stupid-ass Jack. Trying to come back from that.
In a weird way, it was almost like I had to sort of fool my mind into believing that it wasn't retarded. And by the end of the whole thing, I was like, wait a minute, you know? I flushed so much out, how am I going to jumpstart it up again? It's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
You was farting in bathtubs and laughing your ass off.
Yeah.
But Simple Jack thought he was smart, or rather didn't think he was retarded, so he can't afford to play retarded, being a smart actor. Playing a guy who ain't smart but thinks he is, that's tricky.
Tricky.
It's like working with Mercury. It's high science, man. It's art form.
Yeah.
You an artist.
It's what we do, right?
Yeah. Hats off for going there. Especially knowing how the Academy is about that shit.
Wait. About what?
This serious? You don't know. Everybody knows you never go full retard.
What do you mean?
Check it out. Dustin Hoffman, Ray Man, look retarded, act retarded. Not retarded. Count two picks, cheat of cards. Autistic. Sure. Not retarded. You got Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Slow, yes, retarded, maybe. Braces on his legs. But he charmed the pants off next to him and won a ping pong competition. That ain't retarded. He was a goddamn war hero.
Right.
You know any retarded war heroes? You went full retard, man. Never go full retard. You don't buy that? Ask Sean Penn, 2001, I am Sam. Remember? Went full retard. Went home empty-handed.
And there you go. And that's the lesson 101 in politics. So if you want Trump as your candidate for 2024, you're going full retard. You're going to lose. You lost the first time. He's a two-time loser. The I don't know what's going on in your head. That, you know, who gave you the idea like, hey, let's put our loser in again. Normally people put in their champion, but the GOP is the only one to put in their losers. Well, he lost once and he lost twice. He lost a popular vote. Second time, he got beat by Biden. Now, you guys can make fun of Biden all you want to, and you can call him a sieve or he doesn't know where he is, but that just looks worse for Trump. So you're looking at Biden saying that he doesn't know who he is and he's slow and he's this and that. You know, you got a slow guy who still beat your guy. He still beat your guy. And they did a poll saying that if Trump runs against Biden again, Biden will kick his ass. So you go ahead and run your loser because you're going full retard. What are you doing? It's a thing about insanity. What is the thing about insanity that you keep doing the same thing over and over again and you're expecting a different result? It means you're a retard. So yes, when you're a Trump supporter, knowing that what this man has done and what he's capable of, and he's 78 years old and this man will be 80 years old, by the time he's running for office, you're ridiculous. You went full retard. Now, I know that you don't like the other side. It's not so much you love Trump. It's the fact that you like it's the fact that you don't like the other side. You hate the other side. You can't stand the other side. I know what you're saying. I'm on the other side. I know we run pizza places and we have little kids buried underneath the floors in our pizza place. And when we order pizza, we can sprinkle little hearts on our pizza. And you got takeout. I mean, the weekend is a busy time. You know, we have to be just like the Jewish people on Saturday. We have to be at the cabal by 6 p.m. on Saturday. The cabal is really fun. You should go to the cabal. The only reason is you're not invited. You got to be a Democrat to go to the cabal. The ball, it's so cool. You get to meet people at the Illuminati. They dress funny. They are art people. Oh, my God, the Illuminati Fair is just fantastic. If you've never been to the Illuminati Fair, you've never been to the Cabal, and you've never been to, you know, where we go and we eat children and we do things, it's a great time. You should loosen up. You should loosen up. Try to get some tickets to go to the Illuminati. It's the greatest night you're going to ever have. You go to the Renaissance Fair. We love it. We're Democrats. And we'll eat your children. I mean, you don't like them anyway. Some of the children taste good. Bring the fat one. It'd be a feast. But like I said, if you're a Trump supporter and you know what this man is capable of doing and you know what he's already doing and you hear the committee and you steal, and I know you're not dumb. It's not so much you like Trump. It's so much that you don't like the other side. I understand the other side scare you. Come join us. Come join us. I see people coming into the studio. Hang in there for a minute. I want to play you something, and then I will answer some questions. Okay? But I really want you to join us. And I'll be right back. Everybody will get on the air. Everybody will get on the air, I promise. It's Friday. And you have your peace. You come at me. You can come at me. I promise you. Right? Who am I, right? The number is 319-527-6099. And if you went full retard, I would love to have you into the studio. I'm Brian Hammer Jackson. And I'll be right back. I'm going to make some coffee. But this is a message from your former president. Yeah, give you something. I'll give you something. Here you go. Here's Donald Trump. After his loss in 2022. Here you go. I mean, his loss.
You say, I don't have the votes and I won't.
Message from your president, Donald Trump. I'll be back.
You say, I don't have the votes and I won't, so I must go away. You'll cry, you lose, there's no fraud, that's fake news, and I won't say goodbye. I'm so sad. Remember when I had a lead that they couldn't surmount? Now you're making me mad. Magically it disappeared. Now I want a recount. I'll be back. Soon you'll see. Coney Barrett, she belongs to me. I'll be back. Time will tell. Pennsylvania can go straight to hell. I will rise, Joe will fall. All lives matter but mine most of all. And if you claim I'm done, I will send another China virus to convince you that I won. Blah, 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 blah. You can't keep counting ballots after polls have closed. I don't care what the law says, they must be disposed. So no, don't take that ballot. Cause it's a Biden ballot, a late illegal ballot, a trailing mail-in ballot. Another. I'll be back. I'll extort. I'll take each and every state to court. I'm a Trump, I'm a threat, I'm a narcissistic prick in debt. Count on me, I am not. I won this election by a lot. And if you still dissent, I will kill democracy to remain the president. Blah, 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 blah. Blah 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 bl
get right to the phones. But I want you to hear this before I do it. And that's your Donald Trump. Yeah. Look at that. Here you go. You know, there's some bad stuff going on in here. And should I play the bad stuff? No, I am not. Let's stick with Donald Trump. Here you go. And I'll be answering your phones right after this. Let's go to the committee. Here we go. This is Trump. They do the outtakes after the U.S. Capitol attack shown January 6th hearing. Here we go.
President Trump finally agreed to record an address to the nation later that evening.
Yeah.
The evening of January 7th.
Good for
because
him.
Of concerns he might be removed from power under the 25th Amendment
right.
or by impeachment. We know these threats were real.
Uh-huh.
Sean Hannity said so himself in a text message that day to Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany. He wrote, "No more stolen election talk."
Right.
Yes, impeachment and 25th Amendment are real.
What?
We obtained the never-before-seen raw footage of the president recording his address to the nation that day on January 7th,
what?
More than 24 hours after the last time he had addressed the nation from
mm-hmm.
the Rose Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look.
And here's the president.
Whenever you're ready, sir. I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday, and to those who broke the law, you will pay. You do not represent our movement. You do not represent our country. And if you broke the law, you can't say that. I already said you will pay. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defied the seat of dust. It's defiled, right? See, I can't see it very well. Okay, I'll do this. I'm going to do this. Let's go. But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say Congress has certified the results without saying the election's over, okay?
But Congress has certified. Now Congress.
Yeah, right.
Now Congress.
I didn't say over, so let me see. Don't go to the paragraph before. Okay? I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me. Good. Take the word yesterday, because it doesn't work with the heinous attack on our country. Say on our country. Want to say that?
No.
My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
On January 7th, one day after he incited an insurrection based on a lie, President Trump still could not say that the election was over.
Wow. He had a hard time saying yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away, yet I don't want to go. I am here to stay. Because I don't believe the election was fair. Yeah. That word yesterday just bothers him. Yesterday. When I was president, I did things my way. I robbed, I steal, I rape today. Because I believe in yesterday. Yeah. Why I have to leave, because I don't have the votes to even stay. I won't go, because you know what's going to happen. As of yesterday.
We left at the recess just after President Trump's 2:24 tweet attacking the vice president. By this time, the president had been in his dining room for an hour.
I want you to just think of what you would have done if you were in his shoes and had the power to end the violence. You would have immediately and forcefully told the rioters to stop and leave. Like, stop and leave. Done. As you heard, that's exactly what his senior staff had been urging him to do. But he resisted, and he kept resisting for another almost 2 hours. In the meantime, all the president did was post two tweets, one at 2:38 and the other at 3:13. One said, quote, stay peaceful. The other said, quote, remain peaceful. But the president already knew that the mob was attacking the police and had invaded the Capitol. Neither tweet condemned the violence or told the mob to leave the Capitol and disperse. To appreciate how obvious it was that President Trump was not meeting this moment, it's helpful to look at the real-time reactions of his own son, Don Jr., to the first tweet, captured in a series of text messages with Mark Meadows. I'll warn the audience that these messages contain some strong language. As you can see, Don Jr. first texted Mr. Meadows at 2:53. He wrote, he's got to condemn this shit ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough. Mr. Meadows replied, I am pushing it hard. I agree. Don Jr. responded, this is one you go to the mattresses on. They will try to fuck his entire legacy if it gets worse. Here's what Don Jr. told us he meant by go to the mattresses.
It's 58 when you say that that Mr. Meadows needs to go to the mattresses on this issue. When you say go to the mattresses, what does that mean?
Just a reference for going all in. I think it's a Godfather reference.
Sean Hannity agreed, and he also turned to Mark Meadows for help after the president's second tweet. As you can see, Mr. Hannity texted at 3:31 to say Trump needed to deliver a statement to the nation telling the rioters to leave the Capitol. Mr. Meadows responded that he was, quote, on it. Don Jr. and Sean Hannity were not the only ones who implored Mr. Meadows to get the president to speak to the nation and tell the mob to leave, to go home, go home. Throughout the attack, Mr. Meadows received texts from Republican members of Congress, from current and former Trump administration officials, from media personalities, and from friends. Like President Trump's staff, they knew President Trump had to speak publicly to get the mob to stop. Let's look at just a few of these text messages. Fox News personality Laura Ingraham said, the president needs to tell the people in the Capitol to go home. Former Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney urged, Mark, he needs to stop this now. Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade said, please get him on TV, destroying everything that you guys have accomplished. When we interviewed White House counsel Pat Cipollone, he told us that he knew the president's two tweets were not enough. Let's listen to what he said.
I need the question, did you believe that the tweets were not anything about your advice to the president?
No, I believe more needed to be done. Okay? I believed that a public statement needed to be made.
When you talk about others on the staff thinking more should be done or thinking that the president needed to tell people to go home, who would you put in that category?
Well, I would put Pat Philbin, Eric Hirschman, overall Mark Meadows, Ivanka, once Jared got there, Jared, General Kellogg, probably missing some, but so close to Kaylee, I think, was there, but I don't, Dan Scavino.
And who on the staff did not want people to leave the Capitol?
On the staff?
In the White House, how about?
I can't think of anybody, you know, on that day who didn't want people to get out of the Capitol once the, you know, particularly once the violence started. No.
What about the president?
Yeah.
She said the staff. So I answered.
No, I said in the White House.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought you said who else on the staff. I can't reveal communications, but obviously I think, you know.
Let's pause on that last statement. Although Pat Cipollone is being careful about executive privilege, there really is no ambiguity about what he said. Almost everybody wanted President Trump to instruct the mob to disperse. President Trump refused. To understand how inadequate the president's tweets were, let's examine his 238 tweet in more detail. For context, here's what was happening at that time.
They broke the glass.
Everybody stay down.
Doors barricade. There's people flooded the hallways outside. We have no way out.
We were just told that there has been tear gas in the rotunda, and we're being instructed to each of us get gas masks.
We went from a peaceful protest, and this is a very dangerous situation right now, that there are, I'm being told, these protesters on the inside are around both chambers, and there is now tear gas inside the Capitol Rotunda. In fact, members locked in the House are being instructed to put on masks.
Ms. Matthews, after President Trump's tweet about Vice President Pence, you told us you spoke to, immediately you spoke to Kayleigh McEnany. What did you tell her, and where did she go afterwards?
After the tweet about the vice president, I found Kayleigh and told her that I thought the president needed to immediately send out a tweet that condemned the violence that we were seeing and that there needed to be a call to action to tell these people to leave the Capitol. And she agreed and walked over to the Oval dining room to find the president.
We interviewed Ms. McEnany and others who were in the dining room with the president, urging him to put out a statement. Ms. Matthews, Ms. McEnany told us she came right back to the press office after meeting with the president about this particular tweet. What did she tell you about what happened in that dining room?
When she got back, she told me that a tweet had been sent out, and I told her that I thought the tweet did not go far enough, that I thought there needed to be a call to action and he needed to condemn the violence. And we were in a room full of people, but people weren't paying attention, and so she looked directly at me and in a hushed tone shared with me that the president did not want to include any sort of mention of peace in that tweet, and that it took some convincing on their part, those who were in the room. And she said that there was a back and forth going over different phrases to find something that he was comfortable with, and it wasn't until Ivanka Trump suggested the phrase, stay peaceful, that he finally agreed to include it.
Ivanka. The president resisted writing stay peaceful in a tweet. He told Mark Meadows that the rioters were doing what they should be doing, and the rioters understood they were doing what President Trump wanted them to do. President Trump's message was heard clearly by Stop the Steal organizer.
We can go on and on and on and on. But people are in the studio right now. You're live on Brian the Hammer Jackson. I am Brian. Good morning. You're live.
Good morning, Brian. I hope you got your headgear on, because I'm going to have to smack you around a little bit. Sorry. I'm just asking, man. I'm sorry. I know I like to get sparring sessions with you every now and then, but you'd have gone too damn far. I'm going to teach you a little bit of a lesson today.
I've gone too far.
Yeah, you've gone too far. You'd have gone. You'd jumped the shark. You'd gone over the top.
All right. Talk to me, Sarge. You know what kind of show this is. I want to hear your opinion.
All right, man. I know. And I know this is what I love about you, man. You will give me a hearing. And when you do, you're going to regret it. All right, now, okay. First of all, I just want you to know, in response to your little satirical remarks about, you know, where, you know, my side's accusing of eating children and all that, I am not at all worried about you demon rats eating children, because to do so would offend your Canaanite god Moloch, since you would be stealing the child's sacrifice from his plate. Witness these fanatical abortion advocates proudly proclaiming killing their children. I'm not exaggerating, I don't think. Okay? Now, also, let's go on with what I really am concerned about y'all's side of children. I'm worried about you grooming them for pedophiles. After all, that's what the LGBTIA plus is. The plus is the pedophilia that dare not speak its name at this moment until they prepare the ground for
minor
attracted persons.
I understand, but how did you get that accusation that Democrats or liberals are grooming people for pedophilia? I mean,
drag
how did you
queen
get that
hours,
in
throwing bills at the school, the drag queen hour. Oh, man, come on. The evidence is overwhelming. Come on now.
Well, you,
but
you,
I don't want to get
well,
sidetracked into that. I just thought I'd give a cursory response to the thing you said as a wisecrack. But then again, there's an element of truth to it, and you and I both know it. Just like, you know, just like, you know, you can do the hyperbole about Donald Trump, and you have little kernels of truth in there, and then you metastasize them into whole cloth. Come on, man.
I'm listening.
Come on, man.
Sorry,
somebody
you know
we know might say.
You know I'm listening.
Now,
let me have it. You know I'm listening.
All right, now let
me
go
it.
On. I'm going to make my point. You don't have to get to the case distinctly. You know me.
All right.
I don't have stuff.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
I don't need to bloviate, and I don't need to narrate. Okay? I
didn't
offer evidence. I'm a cop, man. That's where I worked. I was a cop.
I know.
I got to go by
you
evidence.
Are. Hey.
Evidence.
My hands up. Don't
evidence.
Shoot. My hands are up. Don't shoot me. My hands
now,
are
now
up.
Hey, hands up. Don't shoot. Okay,
I'm not
look
turning my back on you.
Now, you
I'm not running
about
from
Donald
you,
Trump
sir.
Being a loser, all right? Let's examine the basis for Donald Trump being a loser, okay? Because he didn't get enough votes. You know, a loser in an election is someone who doesn't get enough votes, right?
Let me wait.
Don't get enough votes.
Yeah.
In the case of the president, you either don't get enough popular votes and or you don't get enough electoral votes. Okay? That's clear. That's the definition of a loser. Now, let's look at the last four presidential elections.
Even though he lost the two popular votes, even though he lost the two
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's look at this. Let's not just say it.
My hands are up. Just don't shoot me. Don't you shoot me.
In 2004... George W. Bush won the election with 62 million votes. In 2012, the highest number of votes Barack Obama got in either of his elections, he won it with 66 million.
Okay.
In 2016, Trump won the election with 63 million. And parenthetically, I will add that Donald Trump lost the second election with 75 million votes, the most any incumbent president has ever received in the history of the United States. But
and
Joe Biden, who still didn't campaign, who never drew more than a few dozen people in any of his rallies, who made Forrest Gump look profound, won the election with 81 million votes, and you believe it.
And
you believe
this statement? Yes, I do. I actually do because Sarge, the reason is I predicted it, and I'll tell you why I predicted it.
I don't think the GOP mail-in ballots because that's the way the system works. Conservatives and Republicans were told that they needed to get their vote in early. And, you know, demon rats being late risers don't get up to 2 in the afternoon. They didn't get their ballots in until late. Yeah, that makes sense. Right. You believe it, don't you?
Yes. And I'll explain the reason.
Okay, good. I'm not going to beat dead horses.
Don't beat the dead horses. You already shot them.
If a horse is determined to die at first, when I lead the horse to water, that's on
the
horse.
Go ahead.
All right, let me go on. Now you said you're gonna let me make my case.
I'm listening to you.
Okay, Judge Judy.
Go ahead.
All right, let's go on here with this January 6th committee that you seem to be putting so much stock in. I mean, you apparently You know, all this debt, because we know that this is being conducted above and beyond board in a manner consistent with all the other congressional committee hearings that have ever been held
right.
since the beginning of the midst of time. It's just like
right.
all the others. They're doing it just the same way, with the same
right.
amount of attention to detail and integrity for the general
Sir.
Rules of evidence and court procedure, even though I know it's
okay.
not a court procedure, so don't say
right.
I said that. I didn't
okay.
say that. But they generally
I didn't hear
follow
it.
The rules
You're
of
the one with
procedure
the gun. Don't shoot
under the
me.
Rules of the House.
I think I'm
the way the House sets up
case.
Committees and all that. All
yes.
right. Now, here's what happened from the outset of this hearing. The outset
yes.
now, when right. Benny Thompson made absolutely certain that it was going to be a lynching because he invoked slavery in his open remarks. So he knew right away the
mm-hmm.
fix was in and it was all bullshit. Then he declared
mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi to be off limits, which immediately raised the specter of a culpability in January 6th. He said she's off limits. She's one of the critical players in the event, and you can't question her about it. Now, that right away should have set off alarm bells. Right away. But for people like you and others, no. Nah, this is all legit. This
but Sarge,
is all over and above board.
Sarge,
now, remember now,
Sarge,
we're trying to get to the truth of what happened and why
yes.
an assault occurred on the Capitol. You
right.
would think the person who has the constitutional authority to allow forces to be deployed in her Capitol, for which under separation of powers she has responsibility for, you would think you would
Wait
at least ask her why she
Are you blaming Nancy Pelosi for
aid,
not having
the
enough?
The Capitol Police Chief
wait,
and the Sergeant at Arms.
Oh, Sarge, that's a cheap
you
shot.
You would think
even
you could
you.
At least ask her.
You're blaming
her?
Nancy Pelosi for not having
I'm not blaming
enough
her.
Law
I'm
enforcement to protect
questions.
The Capitol.
Now, of course, I blame her for everything. I think she's a scumbag corruptocrat. But I'm talking about evidence. This would be critical evidence to determining what happened, to hear her side of it. But they put it off limits from Jump Street. There's one more thing out of a manifold of reasons to question the legitimacy of this entire enterprise. Now, let's go on.
Mm.
Let's go on now.
Mm.
Remember, I'm going to submit evidence here. This is
mm-hmm.
from their mouth. They said, Nancy Pelosi is off limits. All right?
Mm.
They said this. All right, now let's go. Let's go. That was on
that
the first
sexy
day.
Lady. I have
now,
a calendar.
Next.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The committee did not mm-hmm. corroborate witnesses by cross-examination. They
it's
did not allow
a grand jury.
Meaningful
is
cross-examination.
It's not a grand jury.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sarge.
Wait a minute, Brian. Wait a minute now.
Mm.
The people
mm-hmm.
on that committee, who were the so-called bipartisans, were absolute
right.
Trump haters who were selected
no,
by
they're
Nancy
not
Pelosi.
Trump haters. They work for Trump. The
oh,
people who
God
went there are telling
heaven.
The story
Please.
Are the people who worked in his administration.
You're talking to somebody who's been watching Liz Cheney for the last 8 years.
I love that
Please,
woman.
I'm not, no, you're not going
to
convince
to her
me that
on Saturday
night. She's an establishment GOPer.
Yeah.
She's a rhino to her heart.
No.
And look,
let
and
me tell
and
you.
Look, wait a minute. Wait, Brian, you said you're going to
okay,
give me
I'm
the case.
Listening.
All right, now remember, it is normal in normal mm. committee hearings. I've never heard of a case, never, where
mm.
the so-called bipartisan participants, whether it was Democrat or Republicans, were not selected by whoever the minority leader of the House was. Never.
Mm. Mm.
Now, in this
mm.
case, the Speaker of the House, who is the biggest corruptocrat rat in the damn Congress, selected the bipartisan members of the committee, who are two of the biggest
Why
Trump
do you call
haters
him a rat?
Who
he's
would
a
never
very nice
have
man,
been selected
and he's good to his children.
By the minority. She told
you,
them.
You know what?
And
you're a
now,
Democrat
let me
here.
Ask you a question here, sir.
Sure.
Are they
sure.
subjecting these witnesses in the spirit of bipartisanship
yeah.
to any meaningful cross-examination whatsoever?
Yes.
Goddammit. No, they ain't.
Yes, they're telling us what's going on.
Oh, okay,
on.
You're going to talk to somebody who's sat in courtrooms for 23 years and you
yeah.
go and knows what a cross-examination is, and you're going to tell me
mm-hmm.
they cross-examine the witnesses in a bipartisan
manner. They're not
cross-examining.
Well, Sarge, wait a minute. They're not cross-examining the witnesses, and they're what they're trying to do is if on their own witnesses
account
of what happened.
Well, that's what bipartisanship is meant to do.
They're not cross-examining.
That's why the other side doesn't select the committee members.
Well, the other side decided
not
to show up on there.
That's why Kevin McCarthy wanted Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, but then they come up with excuse. Well, they might be on the witness list.
Yeah, let's get a guy
who
likes
to turn
his back
on the witness
list. Another coach, you know, sexing up kids in the shower. Jim Jordan's a joke, and
right,
you know that.
All right, Brian, that ain't all.
I got so many things.
I can't go nitpicking over everything
but
until
the thing
after
about
I present
it is, Sarge,
my case.
Sarge, I listened. And I listened to you when you're calling the Democrats a certain name and you're sending their pedophiles and everything.
Damon Wright.
But that's not fair because you got your Jim Jordans.
Oh, like
and
January
you know the history
six
of Jim
fair.
Jordan ignoring his
fair,
high school
though, right?
coach about
idea
molesting
fairness.
Children. And you got your Trump who's with Epstein and who's flying on a plane. And you got your Trump admitting that he wants to fuck his daughter and that he wished he could find a girl
about,
like his daughter.
What about what's her name's diary? With daddy's in the shower with me butt-ass naked.
Well, you know,
you got
I'm not. I'm
that?
Just saying. I'm
what
just
about
saying.
The FBI
wait, wait. You,
going and raiding
I'm
journalists' homes
you can't
in an attempt to seize a diary
stones.
When
you
they don't have any
rock.
Jurisdiction.
First
are
of all,
are you concerned about
what about
that?
Get?
I am.
But Sarge, you got to be fair. You're a cop. What about Getz?
What about
Getz who's trying to bring that underage girl over state lines to have sex with him? And that's still. Wait a minute. He's a Republican, and that's still going on. Sarge, you got to be fair. You got
to
be fair.
I don't know
fair.
I don't have to be fair. All I got to do
you
is be truthful.
You got to be fair.
I don't have to
you
be
can't
fair.
Say
I ain't
that one side is
grooming
for pedophiles. Huh?
And wait a minute. I'm not interested in being fair to Democrats. I'm only interested in being truthful. I'm not going to willfully lie.
But it is being truthful. Listen,
what is being
I don't
truthful?
Know what... I'm being truthful is
oh,
that
January
Trump,
6th committee, they're being
Trump
fair to the Republicans? They're being fair to Trump, really?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. What about the
now,
rumors
minute,
that
man,
when
you
Trump...
Gotta
wait
me
a minute. Sarge, you got to listen to me, too.
I ain't got to the juicy stuff yet.
Yeah, but Sarge, you got to listen to me too, because you know you have a cop background and you're a fair guy. But you know when we hear about pedophiles, what about Trump running the teenage beauty contests and going behind stage and seeing these teenage girls undressed and talking to them when they're half undressed? What about that?
You got anything to say about Tara Reid?
No, I do not have anything to say about Tara Reid. But
I didn't
just
think
saying,
so. Yeah, okay, whatever.
No, but also I'm condemning the behavior of Democrats too. I'm not riding the Democrat train and saying that the Democrats are all this
okay.
and that.
Okay.
If I see
can we
injustice,
say
I'll call
an
it out.
Examination of Donald Trump's sex life in another context? Because right now the examination is on Donald Trump by a kangaroo court called the January 6th Committee. A Soviet
see, when
show
you say,
trial.
See, but
nothing
sorry,
more,
how
nothing
dangerous
less.
It is when you call it a kangaroo court, you're not believing in our own justice system. When you call it a kangaroo
to me.
Court.
Now, see, you just did it again, Brian. You just did it again. Didn't
what
I
did
just
I
say
do?
Moments ago this is not a court? But
oh,
I said
well, it's
all
not a court.
Throughout,
this is a
wait
proceeding.
Wait a minute, here's the point I'm trying to make. All throughout
yes.
the history of committee hearings, there is an attempt to broadly adhere to the principles established by our jury system, meaning an adversarial proceeding where both sides are fairly accurately presented. This is the first one where there wasn't even a pretense of that. You know what this is? I said, told you this yesterday, and I want to emphasize this today. This January 6th committee is acting like a grand jury. But it doesn't have the decency that grand jury proceedings do to keep the proceedings secret. Because grand juries are one-sided. The prosecution presents his case to the grand jury. The grand jury makes a determination whether or not the prosecution has probable cause to present an indictment. In this case, this
well,
of January
well, first of all, it,
acting
first of all, it's
as
not
a grand jury.
Right.
Grand jury. And they're
you.
Not keeping the proceedings secret.
Why would you want it secret?
That's
why
this is
want...
a sham, Brian.
No, but you got to – it's not a grand jury. And you're right. This is
they're
just a proceeding.
They're acting like
just...
one.
No, they're not acting like
see,
one.
Is
these
this
are
what
people,
I'm telling you. I'm trying to explain you. I understand
work...
your dissonance because I worked in it for more than two decades.
No.
I know
I'm
how
not disrespecting
and
the
I
Trump,
know what
but,
committee hearings usually do.
It's a committee that people who work for the administration is telling their account of what they saw.
Argument, so the American people can examine both of the arguments.
It is not a jury to cross-examine anything.
There you go. That's what you do. You're switching back and forth.
I am not. I'm just saying.
You're switching back and forth.
No, the next step, Besarge, the next step with the DOJ, now if they decide to prosecute, now you're going on a grand, getting a grand jury.
Yeah, based on a grand jury, that is secret.
But this is not about that. They're not at that step yet, Sarge. They're not at the step yet.
They have the power to make a criminal referral to the Department of Justice, and always they, has weight because it is the Congress of the United States.
Well, anybody has the power to make a statement if it's criminal, but the DOG is separate from. They don't have to. They don't have to prosecute that.
I got a lot more I want to get in here because you said so much. And I'm ready to tear each and every single thing you said about bit by bit. Let me make the summary of everything, and we'll go back over it. Because we get bogged down in the weeds on it, so I can't make the case.
Listen, you.
All right, so again, Brian. They admitted exculpatory. They altered evidence. They didn't just admit evidence.
Right.
They altered evidence.
They're not altering
evidence. The January 6th committee admitted
and issued
an apology for changing a text message between Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan. They excluded the relevant context about how they wanted then-Vice President Mark Pence to handle electoral votes. They altered evidence, and then it's, oh, we're sorry, we didn't mean to do that.
Sarge, why
like
do you
they
believe
wouldn't
that
caught?
They altered evidence?
Wait a minute. There's more.
Okay.
They excluded, they omitted exculpatory evidence. They omitted
this is not about evidence, my friend. This is just
So what's the point of this bullshit?
The proceeding is to say what happened. Why did the Capitol, what happened at the Capitol at January 6th?
And you wonder why
what started
it,
who started it, who's behind it. That's all this
is
about.
And you're wondering why I call this a big kangaroo court Soviet show trial.
Oh, come
Lord
on.
Lord have mercy. We come to
this? Okay, let's go from the beginning. Sarge, why do you think they stormed the Capitol? Give me a reason, and I'll stop. Why did they storm the Capitol?
Because
that's it, and I'll stop.
Some people decided to riot out of over 100,000 people there. According to the Capitol Police, 1,200 of them decided to riot.
And what caused them to riot? What was the force behind that?
Because maybe they're anarchists. Maybe there were a lot of them were like Ray Epps, the FBI plant, who many of the protesters said was a Fed right there on tape, as he was contemporaneously urging them
so
to
you,
enter the
you
Capitol
don't believe
building
Donald
illegally.
Trump,
and they
you don't
didn't want to
Donald
do it because they said this guy is a
I'll go
Fed.
Down to the Capitol and
how
I'll
come
I'll
they're
walk
not going
with
after Roy Ray Epps? They went after
but
everybody else
did.
Who did it they could identify.
Right.
You got
right.
him on tape. Telling people to illegally enter the Capitol. Why didn't they do anything about him? Why is he free down there on his ranch, wherever he is?
See, I can't. See, here's the thing.
Yeah,
sir.
I know. You don't want
you're
to think
adamant.
About that.
No, but no, you're adamant for what you believe in, and I can't, and you're not open.
No. I'm presenting evidence, and you're choosing to ignore it or be non-responsive to it.
I'm listening to your
you
evidence, but
you can just say you don't know why,
sense.
And that'd
I just
be a perfectly
asked you,
fine answer
I just
for me.
Asked you what caused these people.
But I would at
and
least
you
like
said,
you to take note of it. If
I
you don't know
you
the reason as to why they didn't arrest and charge Ray F. Fine. You don't know. You don't have to make up a reason. I would simply like you to acknowledge it.
I do acknowledge it.
All right. Now, let me go on because I'm not through because I got a lot more here because you said a lot.
Okay, before you do, let me let Melissa in. Let me let Melissa in. Hold on. Good morning, Melissa. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I just finished my lunch of a small child, and I'm washing it down with a beautiful Chianti.
Oh,
I ate the child.
Chianti. Oh, beautiful grandchildren. I love the grandchildren.
No,
Sarge
I ate
today.
The child.
You
Listen,
ate the kid?
I ate the kid.
You didn't
I'll send
share?
You some.
I had a
I'll
great
send you
recipe.
Some.
Okay.
Liver. The baby liver.
I want to get a little Chianti and liver.
Exactly.
Ah.
And fava beans. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sarge, look what you did.
Paul
Walker's
going to be pissed at her, man. That's his sacrifice. You're supposed to give it to him.
I know. He's the devil. What are we going to call him? Is it Mephistopheles? Right?
Moloch will do. He's the great Canaanite god who ate children. You can give it to him.
All right. They're tasty, and the bones are soft. They're tasty.
Oh, my God. Like neck bone.
Yeah,
oh.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And then
I've seen a legion, a parade of women proudly proclaiming how they were happy they killed their babies. I don't know what to say about that when I see it. And I'm talking about one of them is an attorney general of the state of New York.
Oh, Sarge.
Wait, did I just make that up, or was that true or not? I watched her get in front of a big crowd and talk about how proud she was that she killed her baby.
Well, what about that girl was she 10 or 11 years old that got raped and and she tried to get an abortion, but she couldn't get an abortion in her town. They had to go somewhere else.
You desperate to get away from January 6th. You know I'm about to beat your ass, don't you?
No,
you know it, don't you? Because I ain't got to the media's parts yet.
I'm talking about evidence now.
I'm not talking about just my opinion.
Behave yourself.
Yeah, I know. You can't handle the truth, like Jack Nicholson said.
Sarge,
you
have to go from the beginning. We're starting in the middle and at the end. Trump did not accept the election. Now, Trump, I have to ask you a question. Do you think the election was stolen? I mean, that's all I ask.
Absolutely certain that it was, based upon the voluminous amount of evidence that I have acquired, including evidence that is uncontroverted, like changing election laws in violation of the state constitution and the federal constitution, including findings by state courts that said, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that 570 of the ballot boxes in Wisconsin were illegal. That isn't Sarge's opinion. That is the highest court in the state of Wisconsin. And the same findings in Pennsylvania, where the Pennsylvania court, the second highest Pennsylvania court in Pennsylvania, said that the state of Pennsylvania and the state legislature in Pennsylvania violated both the state constitution and the federal constitution with this election law. Same thing in Georgia.
Okay.
This is not my opinion. This is rulings by courts empowered to make such rulings in the states where they occurred.
Okay. Sarge, sometimes we do a man
now,
in a seat in the show.
I don't know the evidence I've accumulated.
Give me a minute. I don't know this person. I never met this person. He's a man on the street. I want to hear what he has to say. He may be on your side. Hello, 602 man on the street. Hello, sir. Have we ever met before?
What's going on with him?
Uh-huh. Hey, what's going on, sir? I guess he must know me because I'm very popular on the radio. Hello, Mr. Sir. We're in Kansas City right now. I'm talking to a very, very intelligent young man who happens to have an album called I Hate Trump. No, that's not his album. That was my album. But he's a rapper. I never met this man in my life. Sir, how are you, and do you have children?
Yes, I'm doing all right. How you doing, Brian? Yeah, I got children.
I'm doing good. Sir, he seems to know me. Hello, King. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, man, doing good. Yeah, I've been doing good. I just been busy and stuff, you know. Haven't really had much time to hop on like I wanted to. I know I hopped on a few days ago or whatever, and I had to hang up because I had to take care of some stuff. But I just recently moved back home to Kansas, and so I've just been busy and just taking care of stuff, you know. But I'll be able to touch bases with you on everything off air, you know. But I just miss everybody. I pray everyone's doing well, and hello to everybody on the show today.
Thank you.
Hey.
We have Melissa, and we have Sarge. We have four other people in the studio.
Not much.
And go ahead, Melissa. I'm sorry if I stepped on you.
I just said not much, King. Not much is going on.
Oh, here. Okay.
Yeah.
Now Sarge is coming in hot. You know, he believes the election is stolen. When you believe the election is stolen, I have nowhere else to go, because if you believe it's stolen, I can't really debate you because that's a fact. If it's stolen, I have nowhere to go.
I haven't evaluated. That's all. You don't have
but
to agree with me.
You
I don't
have,
mean,
even
I don't
a court say that there's
fine.
No evidence.
That's why
but
I present
court,
the evidence for purposes of clarity, not agreement.
Okay.
I do not all require right. that you agree with me. All I ask you is to honestly evaluate the evidence that I provide. Make up your own mind.
Okay. All right. I haven't seen any evidence.
Well, I just
don't
gave
get caught
you
in my
some
web.
And you chose again your non-responsibility.
You're
going to
get caught
like
in my web.
Do.
Don't
know,
you get caught in my web, sir.
That's your pay grade, right? You can't hang with
No, but Sarge, you're an intelligent guy. Okay, forget all this. Okay, you know what? Forget all this. Let's say you're right. Let's say there's parts of it is stolen. We're never going to prove it. I'm never going to convince you this, and you're never going to convince me that. Okay, we made it. So we agree on that. We agree on that. Now we're going to go to an election in 2024. Do you really think that you're going to run Trump again? He will be 80 years old in 24. Running
all right,
into
again, right now the Democratic Party is considering, I'm not saying he's their lead candidate, but they're considering Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders is not a damn thing.
No, that'll never happen.
Bernie Sanders
it'll never,
Sarge,
that'll never happen.
But
go ahead.
Bernie Sanders intellectually is pretty much where he was 30 or 40 years ago.
I agree with you.
Intellectually, he is capable of doing the job of president, even though I wouldn't agree with a single policy
really?
He advocates. All right?
Really?
It's not a matter of age. It's how you age. Joe Biden has aged mentally and cognitively very badly. So the question
well,
would
do product
be,
placement.
What would Donald Trump be like when he's 80 years old? If he's
80
akin
years
to what
old,
Bernie Sanders is, capable of passing a cognitive test as he did with flying colors just a few years ago, then I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, it's
as
like if I had an album, I don't give a damn.
Vice President to back him up.
Don't get caught in my web. I know.
I mean, is
I
that
know.
Is not a reasonable
I'm
answer? I mean, you say you're going to categorically eliminate
I,
a guy because of his age? I understand the impulse to do so. And all things
right.
being equal, then yes. I would pick the younger person. But all things are not equal all the time.
I understand. You know, but there is a movement, Sarge. It's a silent movement going on that people are tired of the old people running. They're tired of it. Both sides. It's a bipartisan little movement. It's a silent
that's fine.
Movement.
I mean, you got a right to vote for anybody or against anyone for any reason you want. You don't like the way they part their hair. You got a perfect right not to vote for them for that reason alone. However, there are things that you should consider that are rational, and I submit to you that's one of them.
But how do you feel? Do
I'm
you
not
going to
categorically
need,
rule
do you,
anyone
do you feel
out
that
on
you
account
need
of their
new blood
look
out
at
there?
The individual.
Okay.
The individual.
I understand. But
not the
an individual 80 years old, you know what I mean? I know this guy who's 80 years old. It just doesn't work. It's just biologically, it doesn't work. Our bodies can't. We can barely stay. We go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It just doesn't work to be the most powerful country
Brian,
in the world.
I could
you're
still
80
pass
years
the
old.
Army's physical fitness test for a 35-year-old at my age. I just did
it
yesterday.
But you're an exception. You are an exception,
I know. Well,
Sarge.
That's why I'm saying you consider the individual.
Okay. All right, now let's talk about one more thing, because the King's here. And King just moved from Arizona back to Kansas City. What is the weather like in Kansas City? It has to be like 98 degrees. It has to be hotter than hell in Kansas City. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Yeah. They got a lot of pretty women. I'm going to get me one. Tell me about the weather, King.
Well, I'm actually in Derby, Kansas. And so that's
I know somebody in Derby. Did you know my original producer, King? My original producer is from Derby. She's in Derby now.
Oh, okay.
She's my original producer in Derby, Kansas. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
I like the statues.
Like, the weather, it's been in the hundreds. And so, you know, different people, they'd be like, so you're the reason why it's hotter. You done came all the way from Phoenix. And I start laughing and everything. So yeah, it's been you know, it's been in the hundreds, you know, been real hot. But the temperatures be dropping down here in a few weeks, you know, so.
Yeah, but you're making life decisions here because I know that you go back and forth because you go back to Arizona, you go back to Kansas, you go back home. I know you call Kansas home. You call Kansas home. You don't call you don't call Arizona home at all. Am I correct?
Yeah. Well, you know, even though I lived in Phoenix, Arizona for over 15 years, you know, that's like my second home. But I'm back here in Kansas good, though, you know. And, you know, just to put some good news out there, I enrolled into a college out here. And out here it's called you have WSU, which is Wichita State University. Then you have WSU Tech, which is Wichita State University Tech School. And so I just enrolled into WSU Tech out here, and I'll be taking up sheet metal assembly class, you know, because, you know, it's a lot of aircraft plants here in the state of Kansas, you know. And so I'll be starting school next month, and it'll be for about 8 weeks. Then, yes, thank you. And then after that, then I'll probably be working either at Spirit or Textron or wherever they want to put me at, you know. And so, you know, and the thing that I've noticed since I've been here, there are a lot of jobs here compared to when I was living in Phoenix, you know. Phoenix, you know, it's there's jobs there, but it's very limited, I'll say. But here, there's a lot of jobs here. And I'm just blessed, you know what I mean? I'm happy, I'm blessed, I'm excited, you know. And for one, like my sister, she works at WSU. So, you know, I was able to get enrolled, and, you know, it was a piece of cake, you know. I got everything done, and so I'll be starting next month, you know. And so, I'm happy, you know. The kids, they love it, you know. They get a chance to see, you know, grandma and grandpa every day. And, you know, it's awesome.
And you got built-in babysitters. Awesome. You got built-in babysitters.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what grandparents are for. That's what they're there.
And then, too, the one thing I'm really trying to get adjusted to is not being able to see my loved ones who have passed on. You know, like both of my grandmothers, they passed away in 2020. And so it's different, you know what I mean? Like, I rode by a few of the old houses that, you know, like one of the houses I rode by was one of the houses I grew up in, and, you know, I rode by my grandparents' old house, and so it's different, you know. I actually sat in the car in front of my grandparents' old house, and I cried because I was like, wow, so many memories over here, you know. And
But
it feels good to be home, be around family, and, you know, I rejoined back at the church.
Well, you're going to make good new ones.
So,
you're going to make good new ones.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to make really fantastic new ones, man.
Yes, because I have a lot of great things. I, you know, like I said, when either sometime today or so, I have to definitely give you a talk to you off air and let you know some upcoming things. But yeah, it's good being here, being around the family and everyone.
Good.
And so, you know, so it's pretty awesome, you know. And so
I'm proud of you, King.
A few people were upset with me in Phoenix because I didn't stop by and see them before I left. But like I told them, God is the leader in my life, you know. So when He says go, it's time to go. And so I had a set time I wanted to be out of there, you know. And I drove 15 hours straight hauling ass down that highway getting here, you know. And shoot, you know. So,
damn.
Yep. And then I got pulled over too.
You got pulled over by the popo. This is a black man who got pulled over by the popo, and he lived to tell about it. Tell me the story.
Yeah, because I was having problems with my taillights, and the officer, he just laughed. I mean, he laughed like as if I was a damn comedian, because he was like, "Well, what's going on?" And I told him, I said, look, don't laugh. I said, but I just got this car. I said, I've never had a Cadillac before, so I have one. And so he was like, I told him, I went and bought new taillights. I'm thinking my taillights was out. And so he said, well, this is what we do in training. And what he did, it was just simple. And so he looked at me. I looked at him. I just started laughing. I said, you know, this is so embarrassing. He said, no. He said, actually, he said, you know, it happens. And so basically I had my damn brights on. I had my brights on. And so therefore, with me having those on, it was preventing me from being able to use, like, my regular lights and stuff. And so he said, no, this is all you got to do. And I said, oh, my goodness. And so, but he said, but you're good. He said, you know, he said, I'm happy I was able to stop and help you. I said, shit, I'm happy you stopped and helped me. So I ain't got to worry about nobody running in the back of me. And so, but he was really nice and helpful and everything. And
really?
Of course.
That's breaking news.
Of course, as we was doing all that, I had my sister on the phone with me and everything, you know, but
yeah.
But yeah, everything went good. But other than that, you know, it was a very fun, safe ride, and so yeah, it was nice. It was nice, you know. And so now I'm sitting here like, okay, next time I'm gonna probably rent a car, and if I want to go to Cali, I'm gonna rent me a car, and I'm gonna, you know, because it wasn't that bad of a drive, honestly. I took the back way, you know what I mean, the old school way.
Right.
You know, and so it was pretty good, you know, and so, but yeah, it kind of kicked my ass a little bit, you know, because when I got here, of course, different people was in town, you know, and so they came by and visited me, and so, you know, a few days later, shit, I was sleeping and everything, but I'm good now, so, yeah, oh yeah.
Well, you know what? I feel good things are going to be happening to you, and if you got a cop that stopped and helped you and didn't put a cap up your ass, it's a good sign that it's going to be a good day. Now, speaking of cap, busting a cap up a nigga's ass, I don't know who said that. I did. Lately, and Sarge, your cop, well, former cop, Melissa, you are now, Melissa, I don't want to bring this up. I can't bring this up, but remember, King, when Melissa broke the news that she's going to be a new grandma and beautiful kids.
Okay.
A shout out to the children, Sean and Oliver.
Yeah, congratulations.
I know. She was so happy. Now, she is a grandma to biracial children. And we had, like, if I remember, we had an intervention with her. There was, like, maybe six or seven people in the studio saying, all right, now you're one of us. Now we got to tell you what's going to go on. You know, you're going to be in a different world, and people looking at the kids. You got to know how to act. Now, Sarge, she's a mother. She's a very pretty lady. That has nothing to do with it, but she is a Caucasian of persuasion. You know what I'm saying? She's white and right. You know what I'm saying? But she has some kids that are biracial. Now, she lives in an area like Boston, and Boston, I'm going to give you the Boston area, that is not so much friendly. Sarge, is there any tips, or should you just tell her that, okay, those days have passed, that, you know, that she has to give a talk to the child when she has a certain age about what to do and what not to do when you're in a car, or how to conduct yourself with a police officer when they come up to you. You know where I'm getting at, whereas most black people have a talk with their children about how to behave towards police officers and what you do and what you don't do. Now, she, you know, is the day has gone since she has to give the talk since they're biracial kids, or is it just like, nah, let the kid grow up? What do you think, Sarge? Help me out, because you've been quiet for a while.
Well, isn't it quite obvious by now to anyone with eyes to see and ears to listen with that the primary precursor for all of these troubles, not always, but predominantly, overwhelmingly so, is that you resist arrest. If you do not resist arrest or fail to comply with the lawful orders of the police officer, even if the police officer is in error for whatever reason, you have nothing to fear physically.
Yeah, but if
now
you're taught
that
the police is going to...
Absolutely, I believe it to be true all the time, every time, practically.
Well, I want you to listen to this, Sarge. Listen to this. Because you're our expert. You're an expert in law enforcement, and I love you to death. You know I love you. We just disagree on a lot of things. But you are our expert in law enforcement. I want you to listen to what just happened to Brandon Calloway. This was in Oakland. This just happened yesterday. Here, I want you to listen, Sarge. Here we go.
For staying up with us tonight, we are still finding answers about why a Fayette County man who police say ran a stop sign Saturday was beaten up pretty badly inside his home. Our Brittany Clemens has been staying on top of this and has new details after talking to a retired captain who specializes in law enforcement training.
Is what happened after Brandon Calloway flew through that stop sign, that stirring up controversy. The cops you see in this video are now being investigated by the state. TBI confirms to ABC 24 it is investigating the officer's use of force. Video of the incident shows two officers hitting Calloway in the face at least seven times with their batons. The video also shows the officers tasering him, and then his face blooded. Calloway is made to lay down again, and one of the officers is seen putting his boot on Calloway's head. Seconds later, the phone recording the incident is slapped out of the witness's hand.
Very, very rarely heard of police officers kicking in somebody's door without a warrant. You need a warrant to do that.
Retired Shelby County Captain Beanie Cobb now consults law enforcement agencies on police de-escalation tactics. He tells us, based on the witness video, the Oakland officers broke the law from the moment they kicked in the door.
And the law says that to come into a private residence, you have to either be invited in, even if you have a search warrant, the law says that you knock first, and then you announce. And then depending on what the charge is, you can force your way in.
According to the affidavit, when officers tried to arrest Calloway outside of the home, he ran inside. Captain Cobb says at that moment, officers should have de-escalated the situation.
The best thing they could have done and should have done was knock on the door, try to negotiate, try to get them to come out, maybe call the phones. And if that wasn't successful, the next only thing he has to do was to get a warrant.
Captain Cobb also says the use of batons and the tasing of Calloway. Not to mention stepping on his head, was both uncalled for and excessive.
The video clearly shows the officers were out of control.
He adds the use of force not only put Calloway in danger, but the officers themselves.
The tactics was bad. When I say tactics, you go and you kick somebody's door and you go in and you start chasing somebody where you don't know if you got a wanted criminal in another room.
Oakland police say they can't release any body cam or other video that they have of the incident, but we'll continue to follow this story. Reporting in Oakland, I'm Brittany Clemens.
So that's what happened. So this guy ran a stop sign. Police got upset. So the guy drove to his house, went inside his house. Policeman went inside the house, too, and started kicking his ass and chasing him around the couch and everything and started hitting him on the head with a baton. They're kicking his ass in the house.
Okay, Brian. Sorry. Okay, Brian, let's cut through the claptrap, and what is captain
well,
for?
I'm just waiting.
Okay. This was not a case of them following a guy. There was a pursuit. Now, I don't know what the state of the Constitution in Tennessee says, so I can't speak to that. But the Supreme Court has ruled a hot pursuit, no matter what you're pursuing a suspect for, if you maintain visual contact with the suspect and you see him enter a dwelling, you are allowed to continue the pursuit into the dwelling. Now, some states may forbid that within their state. I don't know if Tennessee does. I doubt that it does. So that means, yes, they can follow him into the house if they're pursuing him. It's hot pursuit.
And
I don't know what this captain is talking about.
They're pursuing
him. It's one of the exigent exceptions to the requirement for a search warrant to enter a dwelling.
Okay.
Normally, you got to enter a dwelling for any purposes. You got to have a search warrant and or an arrest warrant. Absent that, but with hot pursuit or immediate threat to life, you don't need a warrant. They were pursuing this guy again.
Why do you need to hit him over the head with a flashlight a couple of times?
Hey, Brian,
you see
what I just said? He's resisting arrest.
Okay. Now,
I mean, every time we talk about this, that's the precursor to all the bloodiness. Now, there's a separate issue. Hold on now.
Yeah.
There's a separate issue as to whether or not the police officers used excessive force. There is a little thing that is taught, that I taught as a firearms instructor and defensive tactics instructor, called the use of force continuum. It was adopted by the National Institute of Justice and served as a model for just about every state in the union. Every state in the union practically has adopted its guidelines for the use of force by a police officer. It gives a model of an example of resistance offered and what is appropriate for an officer to use in response to that resistance. Now, I don't know if this guy, because I haven't seen the details. The devil's in the details. I got to see what the facts are. As to whether or not the level, the use of force by the officers met the requirements of the use of force continuum, which, again, may or may not have been adopted by the state of Tennessee. It probably was. And the department's own regulations, which is not law. Remember, department regulations are not law unless they are written exactly the way the law says in the state. You, sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. So there's a lot of issues to be considered here as to whether or not the officers are criminally culpable or whether they're subject to discipline and or firing. I got to see what the I've told you a million times. I'm evidence-driven.
Okay, let me give you another example.
In the law.
How about this?
That's what I'm going to go with. Evidence and the law.
Okay. Here's an article. This happened 5 hours ago. A woman dies after falling out of the police car while in custody. How in the hell do you fall out of a police car while you're in custody? A woman in Georgia has died after she was taken.
It almost happened with me once, and man, did I second-guess my decisions.
What the hell?
I had a woman who she was. She looked like a nice, calm, rational woman. We just got a new squad car. It hadn't been outfitted with the anti-rear door opening locks. And I explained to the woman that, and I was early on in my career, and it's still stupid. I ain't learned all the what I'm supposed to know because I'm still kind of dumb and naive in some respects. And I told her, look, ma'am, you don't have your license. She was a doctor's wife. She was the Indian, I remember she was an Indian naturalized citizen, I think, or she was here on a, she wasn't an illegal alien. She was either here on a resident visa or a H-1B visa or whatever. She's a doctor's wife. She was in the medical profession. And, you know, she looked very nice, intelligent woman. And so I said, look, you don't have your license. I'm going to take you down to the station. I'm going to give you an eye bond, an individual recognizance bond. You'll be out. You don't have to worry about anything. Just have to come with me to the station, sign for it. You'll be back. I'll take you back to your car. You go on your way. So I put her in the back of the car. Now, remember, I can't lock it, though, because it just got there. It hadn't been fully equipped yet, and they gave it to me because they didn't have anything else available. So I got this car. And I put it in the back seat, and I'm taking it. I didn't handcuff her or anything. And damn, did she all of a sudden get a hysterical panic and jump out the car, tried to jump out of the car when the thing was rolling. She tried to open the door and jump out. I'm doing about 25, 30 miles an hour. And why? Because of my negligence in not handcuffing her or seeing that she was restrained.
Ah. See, that's the first
rule. She said, and I asked her, why did you do this? And she said, because I don't know how I could explain this to my husband.
Wow.
She just went hysterical.
So she's going to be on the run. Let's just say she's successfully. So she gets out of the car.
But she wasn't successful in
getting out,
so I didn't do
anything
further with it. And I didn't want to highlight my own incompetence.
Right.
So I didn't let it go.
You let it go?
Well, I went back, gave her the eye bonds and all that other stuff, and this time I handcuffed her, put her back in the car, put her in the seatbelt, drove her back in the car and let her go. Told her, don't drive it. You better come back here with somebody else. If I catch you driving, I'm going to take you out again. You can stand by your car and wait for somebody to come with the license again.
Wow. Well, sorry, Steve, the thing about
it is... Yeah, so I know how that works. I mean,
look,
officers screw up all the time. They're human beings. Screw up, man. They just make mistakes.
Right.
So that's how it can happen.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, when I hear police or other people say, Stanley does it too. He's known for it. Why do they run? Just do what the policemen say.
A lot of them are impulsive, and they just panic. They don't think.
Well, because when you see enough of these videos of that, when they do catch you and beat the shit out of you and some shoot you, your first instinct is to get go home or get to safety, because you're seeing enough of these videos that when they do catch you, they're gonna beat your ass. So
that's what happens when you wildly overstate the actual threat to people from the police. See, that's how it happens, and you know it's wildly overstated.
Well, shouldn't there be a PR campaign and a commercial in an area?
Oh no, we need
show?
To tell these rats out here to quit lying so goddamn much.
My God.
I'm sick to death of it. Look, Brian, do you realize I spent 23 years on that damn job? I pulled my gun out dozens of times to effect an arrest, and I never shot anyone. Not once.
Right.
Even when I had legal grounds to shoot somebody, I never shot anybody.
Right.
You know, you really want to avoid shooting body. Look, believe me, I would not have hesitated if I had no other option. I would not have hesitated a second. But, you know, given the fact that I was very fit and very confident in my abilities at hand-to-hand combat, usually I could do it that way without having to shoot somebody.
You know, Sergeant.
But believe me, man, there were many times when I could have dropped the hammer on a dude. Literally, not the hammer, the real hammer. Dropped the hammer on a dude and didn't do it.
Right. You know, Sergeant,
most police think that way. Why would we run around wanting to shoot people? I don't know any cops who was eager to shoot somebody. I know some that might have been a little bit more so than others, but most of us knew the hassles that were involved even before George Floyd.
Right.
You got to go for a grand jury. You got to give testimony. Frequently, you got to get a lawyer. There's going to be inquests. You got all kinds of people in the department. You got the inspector second-guessing you. Nobody want that shit.
Well, you know, I would not be a good cop. I'll tell you. I wish I could swap cop stories with you. I told you that when I was in college, I minored in police, law enforcement. And so I had to work my way through college. So I did apply as one of the safety, the cops. And I was lucky to get the job. I was the worst cop ever. I was on the take if I could. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying I don't have the...
What were you taking?
We had a call.
Well,
I'll just tell you one thing. I'm trying to be a decent man to make a decent living. I'm trying to do the right thing. We had a call about there was somebody going into the women's dorms and somebody in the women's bathroom was a guy doing perverted things. We got to watch out what's going on. I get this call. 9 p.m. I'm in a car. I'm by myself. Normally I have somebody with me. I'm by myself. It's on the campus. No big deal. It's one of those, go ahead, go to the dorm, check it out, get a report, take it to the office. It's one of those, right? Nobody expected it. I'm lounging, and that's it. Patrolman Hammer's on the scene. I turn on the lights, and he's going, don't turn on the lights. I wanted to turn on the lights. Leave me alone. I turn on the lights. Sorry, they turn on the lights.
You're like a little kid
was
getting the squad car. Ooh,
yeah, I was. I had no discipline. And it's shame on them for hiring me. I go there, and the place is only like 5 feet. I get out there, and Officer Hammer comes out of the car, you know. I got my flashlight. I've got my badge. I'm feeling good about myself, and I'm going to take a report. And this woman comes out. She was 23 years old. I'll never forget. Really nice girl, hardly dressed at all, big boobies. Ma'am, I'm here to take the report. Was there an incident that happened around blah, blah, blah? And can you describe the person and everything? No, I can't really describe the person. Okay, well, what happened? Well, I was going to the bathroom, and somebody looked underneath the stall. They looked underneath the stall? Well, that cannot be. Don't you worry about a thing, Missy. Officer Hammer's here. Now, what I need you to do is get in the police car. Swear to God. She goes, well, why do I have to do it? I need you to go down and take a report, ma'am. Well, can I get dressed? No, you can't get dressed. You can just go in there like that. Sorry. I'm a bad dude. Sorry.
What did she do for you to
I got no discipline.
Was she a material witness or something?
I'm going to make her one.
Good
she
Lord,
saw the guy.
Man, you didn't need to do that
she
job.
She saw the guy.
A little
she tired, said that the guy.
You?
Sarge, she said the guy peeked underneath the stall. I'm saying you're a witness. I want you where your hair is clear. The incident is fresh in your head. I don't want you to go in the house. I don't want you to do anything. I don't want anything compromised. I need you in the
do
car right now.
You don't have the right to do that, don't you?
I have no right. I have no right to be on that uniform.
I swear to God, right. Sounds like it to me, man. Sounds to me. You know what you could have been charged with, brother? You could have been charged with unlawful
retreat. Everything. I know.
Man, I'm out here saying, man.
I'm
you
on the job.
You kidnap the woman?
Kidnapper. I'm on. All right, I'm taking Colt 7.
You know. You,
I
you,
had
were
no
were
right
you,
to be in
she,
that uniform.
Was she, tell me, was she kind of fine?
She was, and that's the only reason I didn't
that
take. I, there was
that
another girl who was really
dog.
Ugly. I didn't take her. I said you'll be fine.
You
just go
dirty
on.
Dog.
just go on.
And
you'll
be like
fine.
Simon Legree. You're like Simon Legree.
Nobody's gonna touch you. You're so ugly.
And,
oh, what kind of cop am I? I tell you these stories.
I'm a you and Harvey Weinstein need to share some
stuff. Harvey Weinstein. If she had any children, I would eat them. You know, but those are my little things.
I wouldn't doubt it based on what you just told me.
What kind of cop are you? I was a captain.
No, I gotta admit,
come
man,
on.
There are women that are drawn to a uniform. And
I
gotta
know,
admit,
right?
I cut a rather dashing figure. And I used to get my
right.
share of the ladies' attention. But, hey,
right.
man, you know, you got to be discreet about it.
Hey, I was. I was following up on a report.
Some women
can I go get dressed?
Really
no.
There is such a thing as police groupies. At least there was before George Floyd. I'm so glad I'm not a police officer anymore. You have no idea.
I could not be one
in this environment today. I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
I know. I think police are confused now. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do.
Well, they know what
I think
to
it's
do.
A lawless...
They just don't want to do it and open themselves up to what they're going to get.
Right. Right.
They know what they
it's
have to do.
It's a lawless thing.
I work regularly with the Chicago Police Department. They know what to do. They used to have their city under control as far as rampant crime. You know, they cleared most of the homicides. It was like they had like an over 90% clearance rate on homicides. You know what it is now? It's 45%.
Mm.
It's not because
it.
They don't know who's doing the killing and all that. They're not doing the proactive policing required to either solve the crime or prevent the homicides in the first place. Because they got this stupid moron of a mayor who, I don't know where this creature got dredged up from, some bowels of the earth somewhere where they manufacture trolls. And but she's in charge of the police department.
I know. It's like that area. Over here in California, they don't even want to arrest anybody because as soon as they arrest somebody, they let them out of jail because of the pandemic. We got this guy named State Attorney Gustavo. He's letting people out of jail.
Oh, let's not
right
talk about the state attorney in Cook County, Kim Fox. Good Lord.
Right.
She's like she's like Kim Gardner out there in St. Louis and Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore and George Gascon in Los Angeles and Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. They're all the same. And this fool Alvin Bragg in New York, they just dropped the charges, thank God, against that bodega worker who had to knife that goblin thug that got in front of him and cut off his escape route. Good God, man. I mean, I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing today.
Yeah, I believe you. It is disturbing and it's scary because it's like the Wild Wild West. And
they're
people
all
watching
demon rats. Can you not notice a pattern here? They're all demon rats. And Blue City. All of them.
Stop it.
Of course, there's nothing to see here. Let's just move on. No pattern to see here.
Right.
Racism, 1619, the Mayflower.
Okay.
That's what counts.
Hey, you know what? There's rats on both sides, let me tell you.
See,
hey,
here we go again. That moral equivalency ain't working with this.
There is rats on both sides.
Moral equivalency ain't working with this.
There's mega rats.
Even the worst rhino would not allow this rampant crime in their city if they were mayors of the city. I don't believe it. Even the worst rhino.
Well,
and
you may have a point
there. And
someone
be hobbling the police when the law is on their side.
Well, I have to bend with you, and I hate to do it, but you may have a point because sometimes the liberals are way too liberals, and let's take the people off the streets and let's put counselors instead of police officers. Sometimes it gets to me, and I will give you that. You're absolutely right. All right, we're at the end of our story, at the end of the day. It's Friday, and we have one story to tell. You know, people always trying to make money off of people. Okay, lately there's an Elvis Presley movie out there, and it's making a lot of money. People want to see it. I think Melissa wanted to see it. Melissa, did you want to see The King?
Yeah.
I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah. And even straight men wanted to be Elvis. I mean, the guy was a good-looking guy, right?
And he had charisma. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he had.
He did.
Some people that just got that undefinable it thing, and he's one of them people who had it, man. You know, Chuck Berry had the same kind of thing, and he took a lot of his inspiration from Chuck Berry. James Brown had it. Jackie Wilson had it. You get people like that, they just got it. Frank Sinatra had it.
Frank did. Frank did. Dean Martin had it. Dean Martin had it, too.
Dean had it.
Yeah.
Sammy Davis had it.
Did Sammy really?
You
think Sammy was just such a clown that he,
preeminent entertainer probably of the 20th century.
That's true. That's true.
There wasn't anything in entertainment he couldn't do and do superbly. Drama, singing, dancing, it was a total package.
And what do you think what the real story is behind his eye? There's a lot of rumors about what happened with his eye.
He said he lost his eye, in an automobile accident. Now, people say it was a mafia that did it, or in an attempt to get him to stop his affair with Kim Novak. He said he lost it in an automobile.
Right. I don't know. I got to go to my resident, Melissa. She knows these stories. Melissa, what's your version? What do you think how Sammy Davis lost his eye?
That's what Sarge said. That's what I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're an Elvis fan, Melissa? What's your favorite Elvis song?
I'm not a huge Elvis fan. I just thought maybe a lot of people said it was really good. Yeah.
Okay, I'll play you a little bit of Elvis, and then we got it. Well, this is a woman, his last fiance, revealing some dirty, dirty stuff of Elvis. Of course, she's trying to make money. There's a book out. But here you go. Melissa, tell me if you like this song. This is for Melissa on a Friday. Little Elvis.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
There we go.
You know what that is?
What?
He was a tank crewman on an M-48 tank, and so was I. Ha!
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
When he was in the Army,
I believe he was either a gunner or a tank commander on an M-48 tank. And I was a tank commander on an M-48 E-3 tank, too. So we got
that. Damn, that sounds impressive.
Yeah.
He was a pretty boy. He was a pretty boy, but day to the end, Fat Elvis. Well, here we go. So Elvis movie made a lot of money.
His last girlfriend, if I remember correctly, her name was Ginger Alden.
I
think you're right about
I didn't look it up. And she has a book that she just read.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, here she is. Here she is. 2 minutes. Here she is.
I wrote down all of my memories shortly after Elvis passed away. It was just my way of holding on. You know, I wanted to hold on and not forget. And time went on. I went forward with my life. I worked. I got married, had my son. And in the course of all this, a lot of untruths were being said regarding my and Elvis's relationship, a lot of exaggerations. And
what were some of the untruths?
Well, just that Elvis was unhappy or we argued a lot, things like that, which was not true. And so I wanted to set the record straight,
yeah.
And I waited until my son, who just turned 20 this past August 20th, went off to college.
Bullshit.
And I sat down, and it took me about 2 years, and I put together all of my memoirs, and
right.
Finally I had my book.
There's a perception that has lingered for many years that when, just before Elvis died, that he was unhappy, that he was this big guy who was just not the old Elvis that we all knew, that he had maybe even lost his will to live.
Right up until the day he died. I mean, there are just things that I've seen in books, and I said this wasn't what I witnessed.
Right.
This wasn't the person I loved.
Right.
This wasn't how he was those last, you know, 9 months, and I was with him 98% of the time.
Shut.
He had asked me to move into Graceland, but I never did, and he said, I respect you for that. I just didn't at the time. I didn't. It wasn't my way.
Oh.
And but I was up there pretty much every day, and I just think the portrayal, the image of him,
bullshit.
You know, has been really unfair. And, you know, Elvis was not someone.
See, you know, when they hear this image about him being unhappy and he wanted a suicide and everything, it looks bad on her watch. And so she's going to say that's not true to make herself look better. You know what I mean? Oh, no, when he was with me, he was very happy. They don't want to hear and blame her why Elvis was still in love with Priscilla, or that was his only love in his life, and when he was with her, he was unhappy and drugged. You know what I mean? So it looks like, well, I want to make a book that he was very happy with me and that he wanted to move me into Graceland. Shut up. This is so, I mean, am I reading it wrong?
He just ain't buying the story. You ain't buying the story.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I think the rumors hurt her. That while he was with, I mean, we all have egos. I mean, sorry.
Well, look,
you know.
look at all the weight he put on, and that's a sure sign of depression.
Oh my God! Yeah.
I mean, the guy had always been slender all of his life up until the end. Man, he just got corpulently huge, and that is almost certainly a sign of somebody's eating to compensate for their unhappiness.
Yes.
I don't know though. It
yes,
could have been his huge addiction to prescription drugs.
It's probably a combination.
I know
of
there, there was one part of the let you know Elvis was kind of unhappy. I watched an interview with his personal hairstylist, and when Elvis had died, his hair was so gray, it was all grown out, obviously. It was dyed.
Seriously?
Yeah. And he had to use, he said that he went to prepare the body, or they did, they'd done it. And he did his hair, and he had to use mascara. To fill it all in, because it
Are
was so grown out.
Just...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but he
well,
wanted
so, I mean,
specific. Go ahead.
No, finish up what you was going to say.
Well, if you think about it, you know, if he let himself go, to let his hair grow out that much, he said it was white, gray, but it had been dyed black, and they
but
you know wanted
old
his
to have totally gray hair.
No.
Though.
But some people, that happens to, right? Some people.
Yeah.
Some people,
like,
but
we
was in rough shape.
We all agree that he was under stress. He was using dope, and I
Huge.
Guess that might prematurely aid you for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
yeah.
unhappy, I think, with his life. You can look at the thing on YouTube. I didn't make that up. It was his personal hairstylist. And
no,
he wasn't
even
he every...
when he died. Oh, I mean, what was he? He was late 40s. How old was he when he died? About 40?
He was about, what,
well,
yeah,
mid
he died 40, in his 40s,
maybe?
Wasn't he, like 47? Was he
yeah,
47?
Yeah, about 4 years, was late 40s, so he wasn't an old man by any means.
No.
No.
No, but his
no.
body was just drugs and, you
yeah.
know, when he couldn't feel like working, they pumped him up with drugs and, you know,
yeah.
he had. But the reason this guy that was his stylist did the interview is he said, I laugh when people say Elvis is still alive. He said, because it was the hardest thing I ever had to do was prepare his hair. He said, I was there. I saw his body. Elvis is dead. That's why he did the interview. It was
yeah,
pretty good.
Well, Yeah. Well, I understand the way he got addicted to painkillers was he got an injury while he was in the Army, and that's how he got hooked on it. It's kind of a shame to think he's serving his country, and it led to one of the reasons maybe for his premature death.
Yeah. Well, he said he was popping pills to keep awake in Germany when he was in the Army.
Yep.
It was popping bennies just to keep awake, or he will freeze or frostbite or something.
Pills to go to sleep, pills to wake up, injections to wake up.
Yeah.
You know, it's common enough. You know, it's sad.
But I think you're right, though, because this guy had everything. And towards the end, I mean, Fat Elvis, and I think, you know, the liquor and the pain pills and chasing, you know, I could see him taking some pain pills and chasing it down.
I don't think he was a big drinker. I never
read
that
he was a drinker?
He was a big drinker. No, not a big drinker, no.
And something else we got to appreciate that isn't true today, even with all the hype in entertainment. Elvis dominated entertainment like few others before or since. I mean, he was literally, like Sinatra and Elvis, you're talking about people who absolutely dominated entertainment.
Well,
that's
like Michael Jackson.
Huh?
True.
Yeah, oh,
right?
To a
Michael
lesser
Jackson.
And Michael Jackson, but yeah, like that, yeah.
Isn't it weird
that
Michael Jackson
life.
And Elvis, isn't it different? I mean, how weird things are, ironic. Michael Jackson did the pain pill thing. He was addicted to painkillers because his hair got caught on fire with the Pepsi commercial.
Right.
He worked his ass off. He was broke. Basically, had to go on tour to pay some of the bills. But he basically died. What did Michael die of? Was it a heart attack?
Was it a prescription
of the pills?
An overdose on prescribed painkillers.
Papillon or something.
He was so immune to being drugged, but they had given him he couldn't sleep medication
Papillon
that would put somebody under to go to have surgery. So they were coming
and
giving that.
Man, many of the
and
great
correlation
of Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin. I mean, the list is just endless.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how
and Jimi
sad
Hendrix
you kinda...
was in the service too, you know. So.
He was actually proud of his service, even though he wanted to get out of the service, and he told the Army he was a homosexual to get out of the service.
Yeah,
but he was always proud of. But he was always proud of being a paratrooper.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarge, we're going to do an exit. We're going to do an exit question. We already do this for the weekend. It's kind of a fun, but it's kind of sick. It's on the same Democrat pedophile kind of thing. So I think you kind of will enjoy it. And help me out, Melissa, because we're both against it. So anyway, the song Sweet Caroline. You know the song Sweet Caroline, right?
Neil Diamond.
You know it. And you know the history of the song, Sweet Caroline, right, Sarge?
I've heard rumors to that effect, but I'm not really that
kind of pervy.
Melissa.
Kind of pervy.
What did you say, Melissa?
I said kind of pervy.
It's kind of pervy.
Oh, okay.
Melissa will tell you the story, Sarge.
They play that at the Red Sox games, the Sweet Caroline.
They still play that?
They always play that. Yeah.
They still play that? Well, Melissa, tell Sarge the rumors or the story, but it came from his own mouth. Neil Diamond did an interview, it came from his own mouth. But go ahead, Melissa, tell Sarge.
Okay, I've heard. Get that out of your mouth now. Hold on a second. Okay, you guys don't even know two little boys what the messes they can get into. I've heard it had something to do with Caroline Kennedy, right? And then another one, he was like waiting to see somebody come of age that he had something for. You know, he was kind of a weirdo.
Well, here it is in his own voice. Here it is in his own voice. So the rumor is clear enough. Here we go. Neil Diamond on writing Sweet Caroline. Here we go.
Nothing happened. I shut that door.
We're in the presence of a true music legend. Here's Paul.
What do you want him to say?
No, he looks around. He looks behind him. It's Neil Diamond, whose career is
span more than 5 decades, and he's still, of course, making music, including on the plaza this morning.
Neil's 32nd album comes out tomorrow called Melody Road. Nice enough to hang out after putting a great concert on. And Neil, thank you so much.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I know you've never sung in weather that cold before.
No, this is the first time. I didn't know whether the voice would come out. You know, usually you're pretty confident about opening your mouth and breathing in a certain way, and a voice comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what would happen, but it happened. I hope. Thank you.
It sounded terrific, and you've got a heck of a tour coming up.
We do. We'll start in first part of March, and go through the end of next year.
Wow.
Into the year after that.
Oh.
And we don't know what's going to happen after that.
You just said something really interesting. We were talking while I was doing the weather, that you're a little bit scared to get back out on the road. Explain what you meant by that.
I am. Well, first of all, it's not a usual thing to do for a living or for anybody, just to get up in front of thousands of people and keep them seated and having a great time. So I forgot how to do it since I did it 2.5 years ago. So I have to accustomize myself to doing that now, and it takes a while. So I'm 2.5 years away from having done it, and I hope I remember some of it. That's all.
Yeah.
Somehow I think you're going to be okay, Neil. Yeah.
And you give the crowd such joy out there. I mean, it must be so great for you to see. Whenever you start breaking out into Sweet Caroline, the minute that song starts, everybody just gets so into it. What's that like for you?
It's amazing, and I can't account for that either.
Yeah.
That people want to. And I thought, when I wrote the song, I thought, this is some kind of magic that happened. It was very unexpected. It was last minute. The whole thing took about a half hour. And
it took about a half hour
to write it. And
who is it about? Who's Carol?
It's actually about my former wife, Marcia.
Marcia.
But I couldn't get Marcia into the three-syllable name that I needed. And
that's bullshit. He changed it. That's bullshit. I had the interview where it's about, and he told the story about when John F. Kennedy died, that he saw Caroline there, Sweet Caroline. He changed that. It's not about his wife, Marcia. How can you get Marcia from Sweet Caroline? I'll pull up that interview. I know I'm not crazy. Come on.
Well, I think it'd be best explained by his voter registration being a Democrat. I rest my case.
You know what? Come on. I don't.
Yeah.
Come on.
Did he own a pizza parlor too?
Yes. Good pizza. Hey,
what?
Pizza.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, no, that's not the story I heard, and that was bullshit. He lied.
Me either. I've heard that too.
I think I even played the interview that he saw this sweet little girl, Caroline, and I'm trying to stall and find it for you guys before we go off the air, because that's bullshit. So that tells me if he's going to lie, then he must have found out that it was pervy too.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Diamond says he has Parkinson's disease and he's retiring from touring.
Damn, how old is he? 100?
He must be, right?
Yeah.
I got to get the story. Come on, you guys. I'm usually good.
You should have prepared this. Right?
Uh-huh. Well, do you guys want to say any... we're going off the air pretty soon. Do you want to say anything for the weekend?
Yes, I do.
Something to watch out for this weekend?
No, my question, will Trump really run? I asked you that last night.
Oh, of course he is. Okay, here we go. Here we go. And you guys can pull it up. You guys can pull it up yourself.
Okay.
Because I know I'm not crazy.
Okay.
Well, I think he definitely vindicate this last election. And God knows there's literally a mountain of evidence that is unexamined in an Article III court, which is where it belongs to be examined, that indicates that that elect is so much funky about, let's not even argue about the violation of the Constitution when they change election laws. That's not even arguable. You're just saying it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay.
They
okay.
gave
I
a
guess
great
a
big in-kind
is...
contribution to the Democrats when they didn't cover the Hunter Biden laptop story.
My bigger question
That's not
is,
even we
should
haven't even
he
gotten
run?
Into voting machines and ballot boxes yet. Just those two things alone were enough to alter the outcome of the election.
You didn't hear me, though. Should
What's
he
that?
Run, or is it going to cause this country so much strife and so much division that it will be just horrible?
I think given the fact that that is a possibility, that's why I think he needs to run. We're going to have this out. We cannot have a country where half the country has no trust in the validity of an election without significant reform. That can't happen. The fight's got to be had one way or another, because half the country is simply not going to accept the state of affairs, where election integrity itself is questioned, and for good and sound reason. It's not like we have
now,
to make anything up about it. I mean, the United States Constitution is clear as a bell. Election laws are made with the consent of the legislature. It's clear as a bell. Executives cannot alter election law without the legislature's involvement. They did it in Pennsylvania. They did it in Ohio. They did it in Wisconsin. They did it in Georgia. And that's not even a point of conspiracy. Now, when we go into what the evidence is about the voting machines and the ballot boxes, man, the evidence is overwhelming that something definitely needs investigation. And if it takes Trump's running to do it, that has to be confronted. You can't keep kicking the can down the road.
Okay.
Okay. But do you guys want to hear it?
But you know what I'd like you to do a show on, Brian? This electrical vehicle scam is one of the biggest con jobs in technological history.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it.
It is a complete and total con and scam and just made to enrich people who are in the bed of the Chinese Communist Party and the globalists in Davos, Switzerland. And it's no good whatsoever for the American people, nothing about it. And it won't even reduce climate emissions. It won't even reduce carbon dioxide emissions. It may even make some things worse.
I will look into that story.
Do you realize it takes you to dig up 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust to make one half-ton electrical vehicle battery? They weigh half a ton.
Well, we have to do something to get out of coal. I mean,
no, we don't.
Just...
No, we don't. Do you realize that carbon dioxide, out of all the gases in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide makes about 0.04% of all the carbon dioxide. Now, out of that 0.4% of the Earth's atmosphere, which is carbon dioxide, which, by the way, plants need to grow so they can make oxygen to give to us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Out of that 0.4% of the environment, 3% of that 0.04% is attributed to man-made anthropogenic activity. So in order to prevent that 3% that mankind is supposed to contribute to, which they say is the tipping point for nature, Mother Nature simply cannot abide mankind's 3% contribution, we have to totally upend the economy and everything else. I mean completely upended for unproven, immature technology. This
you
whole
may be
thing
right.
is bullshit.
Well,
and that's their, wait a minute, now that's their argument. It's not mine. They readily acknowledge the numbers. They say that 3% is the tipping point. Because you got
to
remember that most of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, most of it is water vapor. Water vapor.
I agree, but I don't think
we don't
want to
do anything about water vapor because then we won't have rain.
But, sir, I agree, but I don't think this is about emissions at all. I think it's about getting out of the reliance of oil.
Why would you want to do that when it works so well and we got enough of it at least 500 to 1,000 years?
Well,
why
we are the second largest.
Why would you want to with an unproven, immature technology? Can't you at least
wait
till it's mature?
But the reliance that we have in the third world countries and the Arabic countries and even Russia.
We don't need any third world country.
Even
your budget has to go to Saudi Arabia to get that. All he had to do was Wyoming. He could have gone to Wyoming, Montana, and Texas.
Even have on oil
and given them assurances that he wasn't going to do anything that would cause them to lose money if they began to drill again. That's all he had to do. Mm. But he's so beholden to the radical lunatic nutcases in his party, he just couldn't do it.
Mm.
How come their oil is supposed to be cleaner than ours?
Hey, you know, wait, I just got
to do something that we don't do over here and make American jobs and get the same thing?
I got a call. AOC wants to know, can she come over for dinner?
Oh, she thinks I want to hit on her, huh? Yeah, she thinks everybody wants to hit on her if they criticize. That woman is a lunatic, too. I mean, all these Democrats are the most nutcases I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, okay, here we go. The story behind.
I mean, what do you want to do about water vapor, man? Water vapor makes up 95% of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Do you want to try to control water vapor, too?
I don't think it's about the emissions, though, Sarge. I agree with you, but
I
don't. I think it's. I know what they say, but you and I both know it's not about the emission. It's about getting out of the stranglehold.
Yeah.
But, okay. But, you know, but we don't want to be reliant on Russia. We don't want to be reliant on.
That's a talking point. That's not, there's nothing about it that's founded in any technology. I mean, think about it for a minute, man. Look, again, a typical EV battery weighs about 1,000 pounds. That's half a ton.
Mm.
It contains 25 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of nickel, 44 pounds of manganese, 30 pounds of cobalt, 200 pounds of copper, 400 pounds of aluminum, steel, and plastic. Inside,
and AOC only weighs 105 pounds.
Individual lithium ion cells. They come from the Congo. They come from China. They come from Afghanistan, where much of it is being created by slave labor, for which they got to dig up 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for just one of those suckers.
So, but what is your
alternative? And if you're going to manufacture one EV battery, you got to process 25,000 pounds of brine for the lithium, 30,000 pounds of ore for the cobalt, 5,000 pounds of ore for the nickel, and 25,000 pounds of ore for copper. Again, 500,000 pounds of earth crust for one damn battery. And where do they make them? In China. In China, along with the solar panels. About 75% of the world's production, solar panels and batteries, EV batteries, is in China. You're going to enrich
the
red Chinese communist slave masters.
What's the answer, though, Sarge? Stay with the oil?
Stay with petroleum and nuclear. Yes.
Wow. Nuclear? What the hell is wrong with you?
You use the cleanest energy. The problem is they're afraid of what might happen if something breaks down.
Yeah, that's the...
Okay.
Right.
Not nuclear, then.
You know, you just
stay with coal, stay with petroleum, stay with oil, stay with liquid natural gas.
And then
you're
going to be
beholden.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I ain't buying this, man.
Oh, okay.
I'm not buying any of it.
We're trying to get rid of the nuclear plants and close them down, and you want to keep the nuclear
thing
running.
Didn't I just say if that frightens you so much, forget nuclear. Stay with oil.
You know, I say solar paneling. All cars should have, like, a solar panel on the side, you know, for the sun, and it makes your car go. And, like, a windmill.
I mean,
put a windmill on top of the car.
Everything I just said is true, man. It's like there's some kind of zero-sum game. We're switching to electrical vehicles. There is an environmental cost too. And you got to look, Brian, right now the electrical grid cannot handle the overload. In Texas, the ERCOT Commission, which is the Electrical Commission in Texas, is telling people during peak moment times of electrical need, you cannot charge your Tesla up because of the amount of amperage and wattage it takes to charge the car up. They can't repeal the laws of thermodynamics and electrical conductivity. There's no means to repeal them yet. You've got to transfer electricity down a wire, electrons down a wire.
Okay.
And right now the grid
I don't think we're going to stay for the oil.
Solar power and windmills are going to transmit the kind
but
of power.
I think
we can't do it with air conditioning.
Well, the thing about it is with the climate and what is it? Help me out with the climate.
See, the talking point. I'm talking about the existing electrical grid without a massive upgrade.
I know.
We're talking only 2% of vehicles registered on the road are electrical vehicles.
The decision's already been
made. What if we get a saturation of 25%? Do you think the electrical grid can handle charging all those vehicles? Hell no.
I think they made the decision, though, Sarge. I think they want to go on and get rid of the beholden of the oil.
These oligarchs want to make a lot of money, and they want to make us dependent more on the state. They don't like your independence and your liberty.
I kind of like liberty. She's a nice girl.
Well, then you don't want to go along with any of their schemes.
I don't want to go along with any of the schemes.
I said, I'd rather put a little windmill on top of my car, like a propeller.
I believe
that in time, the technological problems with the electrical vehicles will be solved, and then they will be as flexible as internal combustion engine vehicles are now. The problem is, I believe that is decades away. They're trying to shoehorn it in right now by 2030. It ain't going to be ready for prime time.
Okay. Until then, we got to make things. I'm still keeping my gas car. I'm not going electric. You know? Tesla, I got to admit, Teslas are going for $30,000. It's kind of in range. You know what I mean? I don't believe in these cars driving by itself. These smart cars kind of scare the shit out of me, I'll be honest with you.
Wait a minute. Brian. I am old enough to witness all these dire predictions dating back to 1966 to now that they said were going to happen if we didn't take drastic action to curb climate change. Let me just give you a few of them because I remember them vividly. They were all over the headlines in Newsweek and Time magazine and all over the place on CBS, ABC, and NBC. I remember seeing weekly I would see some dire prediction about the future if we didn't do this. Mm-hmm. You want to hear a few of them?
So 1966,
that we'd have no more oil in 10 years. 1967, they forecast dire famine by 1975. 1969, everybody's going to disappear in a cloud of blue steam by 1989. The world's going to use up all its resources by 2000 and 1970. 1970, nitrogen buildup will make all land unusable. 1970, decaying pollution is going to kill all the fish. 1970, killer bees. 1970, ice age by 2000. 1970, America subject to water rationing by 1974 and food rationing by 1980. 1971, they said a new ice age is coming by 2020 and 2030.
Wow, sorry.
1972, new ice age by 2070. 1972, oil depleted in 20 years. 1974, space satellites show a new ice age coming fast within 2 decades. 1974, another ice age. 1974, ozone depletion, great peril of life. 76, scientific consensus, planet's cooling, famine's imminent. 1977, acid rain will kill all life in lakes by 1989. A peak oil in 2000, no more oil. Regional droughts that never happened in the 1990s. The Maldives Islands will be underwater by 2018. They said that in 1988. They said rising sea levels will liberate nations and nothing done by 2000. Bullshit. New York City's West Side Highway will be underwater by 2019. They said that in 1989. Children won't know what snow is. They said that in 2000. They said there's going to be a famine in 10 years if we don't give up eating fish, meat, and dairy. They said in 2002. Britain will be Siberia by 2024. They said that in 2004. 2005, Manhattan underwater by 2015. 2008, Arctic will be ice-free by 2018. Climate genius Al Gore says ice-free Arctic by 2013. He said that in 2008. Prince Charles, another climate genius. We're going to have 96 months to save the world. United Kingdom Prime Minister in 2009 said 50 days to save the planet from catastrophe. Al Gore, 2009, moved his 2013 prediction of ice-free Arctic to 2014. 2014, only 500 days before climate chaos. Every single one of these goddamn predictions didn't come true.
Wow.
And they
said
over and over and over again.
But don't forget the most important one that didn't come through. Well, how about 1999? Oops, party over, out of time. Yeah.
See, this is what I mean, Brian. You know it's all bullshit.
I'm trying to tell you. It's 1999,
I remember
party over.
I remember they were telling me about the Ice Age. I used to read those novels. They were really entertaining.
I don't know about the Ice Age.
One of them was one called
Young
Ice.
Time.
And I really liked that novel. It was a thriller. It was well written. And it was all bullshit.
I wasn't around at the Ice Age.
They said it's a 1994.
You're putting too much pressure on me. I don't know what's going on.
I know. It's too many facts, ain't it?
There's too many factors, too many predictions.
How many times have I told you, Brian? I am driven by the evidence, logic, reason, science, law, and fact, and history. I'm not subject to being stampeded by anyone, even if the guy is ugly.
You and Notre Dame would not get along. You and Notre Dame would not get along.
Well, Notre Dame had a penchant for being surprisingly accurate. These people are
exactly the opposite. But it was in fact based.
But he was accurate.
He was accurate, but it wasn't based on facts.
These people are anything but, and they claim to be using science and facts. They all got degrees.
No, he was, Notre Dame was not a scientist. It was not fact-based. In fact, he did.
Again.
He predicted.
Well, look, I'm not responsible for Notre Dame. I'm responsible for Sarge. What did I say Sarge is driven by?
That's what Notre Dame
I'm not responsible for Notre Dame.
What are you mad at me?
Sarge believes in fact, logic, science, history, and the law.
I'm just trying to say, you know,
I'm a product of Western civilization. I believe in the scientific method. I believe in empiricism. I believe in epistemology. I believe in objective evidence.
I believe in a rhythm.
I'm not a mystic.
I kind of pull out. Just adding conversation.
That's science, too. That's science, too. And now it is ironic
that
all these pro-aborts out there, it is ironic that all these pro-aborts out there are telling us that abstinence prevents pregnancy. What the fuck do you think we've been telling you in the last decade?
Oh, God, Sarge.
Oh, we're not going to have sex anymore. We're going to tie our tubes. Oh, really? What the fuck do you think we've been telling you?
I don't know.
You just know you're kind of late to the party, ain't you, baby?
I am late to the party. I wasn't even invited. I am kind of late. Listen.
Gee, abstinence prevents pregnancy.
Oh, shit. What the hell is going on? Sarge, calm down. I want to thank Sarge for coming in today.
Why do we have to keep presenting self-evident truth to dummies?
You're coming in nuclear.
Why do we have to keep presenting self-evident truths to dummies?
I don't know.
Like they discovered something
new
and nobody else figured out in millennia of human experience.
No, it's just how it goes, Sarge. You know, the world is run by lobbyists. Our laws are run by lobbyists, and things don't make sense sometimes. We don't make sense sometimes, but that's just how it goes.
Well, I'm sorry. It ain't flying with me.
I know it doesn't fly with you.
I refuse to be a slave to fashion.
I'm flying Sarge Airlines, and I'm flying with you, Captain. Right, Melissa Gilmore?
I ain't going to be a slave to fashion. Y'all can go off the cliff with the rest of the lemmings. I ain't joining you.
I'm going with Sarge Airlines. I'm flying with you, Captain. My captain. Sarge.
All right, I'll have flight speed then, damn it.
Sarge is too hot.
My God.
You know, I got a feeling when the show's over, Sarge is going to calm down and he's going to relax, have a glass of wine, go to another show, kick back, relax. He's not going to get so excited.
Me and my dog, man, I got a new dog, and my dog, he loves to play and fight and scrap, and that's what we do. About this time, when I get off the show with you, I go over to my dog. We have our little wrestling match and our little fight match because he just loves it. If you saw it, you'd think I was abusing him, but he's a glutton for it. He just loves to scrap and fight.
Does he really? What kind
it's
of dog
good
do you
exercise.
Have?
He really gives me a tussle.
Yeah? What kind of dog?
It looks like he's a mixture of Belgian Shepherd and, I mean, maybe Malinois and German Shepherd. It looks like he's a mix.
Wow. That's a big dog.
That's why I got to keep him busy because he's really active. I mean, he needs a lot of energy.
Yeah.
He's energetic. He needs a lot of, you know.
Yeah,
so
that dog will tear up your house.
Or he'll be bugging me all day long. We have this little ball. We fight over this little ball. It squeaks. And if I don't break, he'll be coming to me, laying a ball at my feet, getting indignant. You know, rah, 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 rah. Why aren't you playing with me? Oh,
wow.
So I'm going to have to do that to tuck him out a little bit so it'll give me some peace.
Good. But it'll tucker you out, too, because you need to calm down, Sarge. I want you to calm down and have a great weekend.
The great Sarge was on the show today,
everybody, and the great Melissa was on the show. And the great Laverne is on the show. She's not in the studio, but I can hear her spirit, and I can hear her say, hey, baby, good show. You were off the subject a little bit, but you got back on track, baby. I know that, Laverne, wherever you are, you have a great weekend. We love you, Laverne. And, again, everybody, I will be on the air. Ooh. I will be on the air Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And come in, come to the studio, see. Yeah, I hope we enjoy. I hope you got, you know, you enjoy yourself.
Hey, when are you gonna be back on again, Brian?
Monday morning, same time.
Aye. I'll look for you then.
I hope you do. I love it when you come on, Sarge. I love it when you do. All right, everybody. By the way, the answer is, and I looked it up. Look it up yourself. The story behind Sweet Caroline, John F. Kennedy's daughter, Caroline. Who is the song Sweet Caroline about? Singer Neil Diamond released Sweet Caroline back in 1969. In a 2007 interview with The Guardian, Neil said that the inspiration for his song was John F. Kennedy's daughter, Caroline, who was 11 years old at the time it was released. That was his inspiration. So don't try to do this false news about your wife named Marcia. How can Marcia be with Caroline? You named the song Caroline, you motherfucker. Oh, it's about Marcia. What? Come on. Sorry.
Marcia's a pretty young thing.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. And I'm going to leave you with Sweet Caroline.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay,
you too.
You take care and have a good weekend and give the kids my love.
Sure will. What kids? I have kids. You mean... What kids? All right.
She just met children.
Oh, her grandchildren. Oh, that was nice. You hear that, Melissa? He said, give the grandkids his love. Did she leave? Yeah, she left. Well, you too.
She understands implicitly.
Have a great weekend, my friend. I'll see you Monday.
Thank you.
You take care, too. Bye, everybody.
Was the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along?
Wow.
Hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me. Night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching one, reaching out, touching me, touching you, sweet Caroline. The time's never seemed so good.
So good, so good, so good.
I've been inclined. Good.